Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Through awnings and bow-windowed frontages, side streets frame sections of a dusking horizon, ocean blue kelp depths of sky, street, street, sky, street, sky, lamplight thrown down in pyramids. O gentle rockets, drag me beyond myself, further and further, bluer and bluer, until I am here once more, in the moon underwater. And we find ourselves once again in this pubbly realm, and I have to say, I don't mind it here. How are you, Robin?
Yeah, I'm very good actually today, John. Yes, how are you?
I'm good. Why don't you pull up a pint?
Okay, yeah, I'll pull up a pint and sit down betwixt it.
And?
Drink it.
Betwixt it and drink it, yes.
Oh, right, I see, sorry, yes.
No, that's very true, to sit betwixt pint and drink it. Is a lovely motto.
I suppose betwixt, yeah, I suppose we're all, in a way, sitting betwixt pints in terms of time.
Very true. We're always between two pints.
Yes, yes.
Unless we've decided to forego pints forever.
Or died.
Yes, or we've died and gone on to the further brewery. Because God is a brewer.
Yeah.
There are probably people with t-shirts that say things like that, isn't there? God is a brewer.
Yeah, God is a brewer. Take me to your brewer, an alien with a kind of tankard.
Robin, your pub in weeks, your week in pubs.
Well, thanks, John. Yeah, well, so a couple of people wrote in to say I should try out the Blythe Hill Tavern.
Oh.
So Ruth and I went there on Saturday, and it was stunning. The first thing, though, was I remembered I'd been there with you before.
Yeah, I think we went on a Catford Lewisham pub crawl when you came to visit when I lived there.
It was around Christmas 2015, and yeah, I vividly remember saying, should I put money on Leicester to win the league?
Really?
Yeah, because they were doing quite well. Anyway, that was the first thing I thought when I went through. So it was very enchanting going through. A little bit, it's quite bloke when we first went in, and I was a bit scared.
Right.
But then we went through to the garden. It was absolutely stunning. And lovely.
Blokey in what sense? Sort of young, big muscles, tight pink shirts, tight trousers and no socks blokey? Or sort of lots of old men on their own blokey? Or sort of general air of threat blokey?
All of the above, to be honest
really?
With you. Yeah. but the thing was, that was a first impression. And I realised once we crossed the threshold, it was actually a very, very nice, inclusive place with really nice staff.
The staff there are without equal.
Yeah, they're stunning. And I hadn't had a Guinness since pubs reopened. And my gosh, that Guinness was like sort of relearning the meaning of Guinness.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was
you like did text me about the Guinness, didn't you?
Yeah, it was sort of platonic Guinness. It was really just absolutely fantastic. Yeah, and it was very nice. We're out in the garden. It was quite busy. And we're under this kind of corrugated kind of plastic sheltery thing. And foxes kept running along it.
Really?
Making quite a racket. And everyone kind of would turn around and go, oh, a fox. And it sort of brought everyone together.
Did that sort of make you feel like you were in Inception, where everything was sort of inverted because there are foxes running above your head?
Yeah, yes and no, you know. I mean, it was sort of a bit of a magical moment, I suppose. Yeah, it was lovely. How's your week been of pubs?
My week of pubs, it's contained zero pubs.
Sure, that's fine.
But I have discovered a new beer, which is the Cloudwater Hazy Pale.
Ooh.
That they now sell in Tesco.
Mm.
So my Tesco is sort of slowly increasing its craft selection to the point at which now it's got a very big craft beer selection. But the problem is they're obviously experimenting with which ones sell.
Well, I think you are the key demographic that they're checking in on, aren't they? Every day Mr. Tesco checks, what's Robin's been buying?
Yeah, but then... So they stopped stocking one of my favourite sort of cooking beers, which is Camden Weeknight, which is 3%. I used to buy it genuinely thinking, surely someone will notice that they've sold 24 cans in one transaction today and they will keep it on. But they stopped stocking that. So it's sort of frustrating.
It's a bit like the kind of the Spotify algorithm of Tesco. You know, you think because I buy this, I'll be offered a lot more of it. It doesn't seem to quite work like that.
So they've got this Cloudwater Hazy Pale, which is quite difficult to search for online because it would seem that Cloudwater do three different hazy pales, all at 3.7% with different sort of covers, different inlay, different vinyl covers. So I can't tell if it's three different iterations of the same beer or whether it's like a yearly brew. But anyway... They're £3 a can in Tesco, which in sort of Tesco terms is very expensive, but compared to buying it online is a little bit cheaper. So I just bought every single one they had, and I just hope that they keep on stocking it because 3.7% is such a great amount of percent.
Yes. How many are we talking? Did you say, how many did you buy?
I bought 8 because there were only 8 on the shelf,
but
I'm going to go back tonight and get some more. We did have a trip to the pub, didn't we? But we're going to talk about that on the bonus podcast Behind the Cellar Door.
Yes, indeed.
And thank you so much for all of the positive feedback we had after the episode, last week's episode with Emma Inch, which we really, for me, was just exactly what I imagined inviting someone to the moon underwater to be. She spoke with such eloquence and passion. And hopefully we'll be involving ourselves with Emma again in the future. Potentially something live, or maybe we'll... ask her if she can take us on a pub crawl of Brighton, which would be an absolute treat.
Oh, yes.
But Robin, did I hear the Mist Man cometh as I was down rattling about with the cans and bottles in the cellar?
Yes, yeah, the Mist Man came and I sighed for it. You know, it's quite strange when you sigh for the mail, isn't it? Because you have to sigh on one of those electronic pads, you know, with a pen, with the sigh.
And do you have to sigh for each one individually?
No, I sighed bulk.
Right.
But my sigh looks so different from when I sigh normally, you know. It's just crazy, doesn't it? Yeah, when you're sighing.
Because you have to make sure that no one else could forge your sigh.
No, well, yeah, of course. But so I think sighing is more like a kind of formality, isn't it? Some people's sighing just looks nothing like a sigh.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's just you can't be easily replicated.
No, it's like a fingerprint, isn't it? Thanks so much for your lovely messages. We read them all. They're fantastic. First one I wanted to read out was from John, without an H. Hi, John, with an H. I love the podcast, but had to write this. So he is writing about the Vic Hope episode where we talked about pubs in Cambridge. He said, yes, the Free Press has a snug, but I guess Robin meant the Kingston Arms, not tavern. And the Cambridge Blue must be a couple of miles from the river. Hey-ho, you'll understand my pedanticism, I'm sure. It's actually spelt pedanticism wrong there, John, but we don't want to get too pedantic, do we?
I thought it was pedantry.
Pedanticism is a word, but pedantry is also...
And you did you check as soon as you saw it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you thought, I've got him there because it's pedantry.
We love your feedback. But this is a great email, John. This is ticking several of your boxes. Dear John and Robin, I will soon be in Edinburgh with a whole day to kill, and knowing Edinburgh is a city of pubs, I was looking for recommendations for hostelries. I know John is a lover of the Dagda, and that is on the list. In fact, it is the list, so far. Which other pubs should I add? Should I find one and settle in for a session, or should I only partake of one ale in each inn in order to experience as many as possible? All suggestions welcome. Many thanks, Ben. Where to start, John?
Well, if you're an afternoon drinker, the Dagda at sort of 2 to 4 p.m. is where I want to be buried there.
What, at 2 to 4 p.m.? They have to inter you at 4 every day.
Yeah, 2 to 4 p.m. buried in the Dagda. But I was thinking about this because, so my experience, Robin's got a much better experience of Edinburgh pubs in terms of their reality. Whereas, I mean, I've spent a year of my life in Edinburgh, but always in Augusts.
Hmm.
So 12 Augusts I've spent there. So I only know the pubs under Edinburgh Fringe circumstances. I would add, because what you don't want to do is overload yourself. So I would say start with 3. And if it was my 3, it would be Dagda, Bow Bar, and Bennett's Bar.
Mm.
What do you think to that?
Very good. I realise I shouldn't have said inter then, because inter means to bury someone. I should have meant dig up at 4.
Ah.
I think those are excellent choices. For me, almost as high as the Dagda in my imagination of pubs is the Blue Blazer.
Mm.
And you're not such a fan of the Blue Blazer, perhaps?
I wouldn't say I'm not a fan of it. It's very... I know why you like it, because it's the sort of pub you like. It's quite... I don't mean stark. And also basic's not quite the right word. It's not bedecked with adornments, is it? But that's my memory. I haven't been there for 5 or 6 years.
I think Blue Blazer's just one of those ones where, at the right time, it can be the best pub in the land. I love the Blue Blazer. And it's one of those ones where it's sort of... it can be surprisingly quiet in busy times. So it can be quite quiet during the Fringe. So I do like that. But other suggestions I have got are, if you're an Ian Rankin fan, you could try the Oxford Bar, which I've only been in once. But on the same street, there's the Cambridge Arms, which I actually quite like. But there's also Kay's in Stockbridge, which is fantastic pub. Have you been to Kay's, John?
I don't think I have.
It's a little Victorian pub in Stockbridge on Jamaica Street. I mean, it's so tucked away. It's beyond beautiful. You look kind of... have I hypnotised you?
You have. No, I'm just looking at the Waverley Bar in my mind.
Oh, the Waverley. Yeah, yeah.
Because we've mentioned that a lot, and I think we thought it was closed, but I don't think it is.
Oh, great.
I think it's still open.
Well, the Waverley's a good one. I love the Queen's Arms and the Antiquary, another Stockbridge one, and the Kildakin.
Yeah, but he's not going to be in Stockbridge, is he?
Why not? Go to Stockbridge, it's great.
No one goes to Edinburgh for the day and goes to Stockbridge.
Well, maybe you should.
It's like going to London to sightsee and ending up in Barnet. It's like, Stockbridge is nice, but it's nothing, it's just a place where people live.
I like the way it's called the New Town, and it's like about 300 years old or something.
Yeah.
It's not that old. But yeah, it's, oh, I don't know.
Far too many pubs to do in a day there.
There really are. But I think in terms of, I think it depends what kind of drinker you are. Whether, if you can sit in one pub, then I would thoroughly recommend the Dagda. But you're all about momentum, aren't you, John?
Well, I want to sample different atmospheres, different beers. I mean, if I went to Edinburgh now, I would sit in the Dagda all day because I miss it so much. But I really like Bennett's Bar in the evening. And also, it depends. If you're a whiskey person, you're into a whole other world because there are some really nice whiskey bars there. I mean, all the pubs, all the decent pubs in Edinburgh have very good whiskey selections. And it's amazing that the Dagda, which is my favourite pub, doesn't serve Guinness. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, indeed.
But that's the strength of a really, really, really good pub. People have sent me photos, and thank you to everyone who sent me photos of their first trips to the Dagda or tagged me in them on social media. It really does mean a great deal. And I think, Robin...
tagged you in the Dagda.
Tag me in the dag me. Dag me and tag me. Bag me and bury me. But I think on the horizon, perhaps a late summer trip to Edinburgh for me and you, Rob.
Mm, yeah.
Get on the train. Get on the train, as Van Morrison said. In the morning, get out about 2 o'clock,
yeah.
Check into an Airbnb and just walk out that front door and never come back.
No, just sort of watch yourself walking.
Yeah.
Somehow.
So, folks, a reminder, if you would like to get 20% off a huge selection of non-alcoholic lagers, beers, pilsners, pale ales, stouts, ciders and wines and cocktails and spirits even. then go to drydrinker.com and use the code MoonUnderPod. Also, for our patrons who want to hear about our pub exploits, you can get Behind the Cellar Door, the bonus podcast, and you can also join the Moon Underwater Facebook social club and various other benefits, including, and this is very important, live tickets to live recordings of the Moon Underwater, which is going to be happening as soon as you think. There are limited tickets, and those in the top patron tier get 48-hour pre-sale exposure, if that's the right word. Anyway, Robin, I feel the pint mats are shifting.
Hmm?
I feel something in the air. Ah, Robin. So we find ourselves here again. I'm sensing some kind of murmuration in the ale. Could you look deep within your pint and see if there are any murmurations in there?
Well, I'm having a look. There's murmurations. Memory is having a good old mix with desire in my ale.
Yeah, and look at that keg over there.
Go on.
Is it just me, or does that keg seem to recede and proceed?
It's slightly fuzzy around the edges, like, you know, when the moon isn't quite full.
Yes, or when cloud passes in front of a pint.
Yes, yes, yeah, when the moon goes behind a pint.
And I wonder if the recession and procession of that keg and the murmurations within our pints suggest that we have a guest at the Moon Underwater on the way, because when the realms converge, it does bother so the atoms of the pub.
Well, yes, and the cobbles really do tremble outside, don't they?
They do, and I can hear... it's funny you speak of trembling cobbles, because I can hear footsteps amongst the trembling of the cobs.
The T's of the C's.
And yes, it's the door. And who should walk in but Jenny Ryan? Hello, Jenny.
Hello. I think you probably need some WD-40 on that door. That was,
yes.
It was quite a tough open.
It's meant to be a self-lubricating door, but it's been faulty for some time. So we'll put that on the Moon Underwater caretakers list. Jenny Ryan, a.k.a. The Vixen, a.k.a. host of Fingers on Buzzers podcast with the lovely Lucy Porter, a.k.a., and I only found this out today, singer of Somebody to Love on Celebrity X Factor.
Oh, you got straight to that. I thought I might have got away with it.
Guess which one John wants to talk about.
Am I in trouble?
I know we're not in my house, we're in the Moon Underwater, but if you just sort of tense and try and look between the realms, you might see certain things appear behind me, certain pieces.
There's a sort of an aura of Mercury around you.
There is, and I don't just mean, if you just bear with me a second, I don't just mean the character, but also the chemical element.
Indeed.
Of the good Sir Lord. Dear Sir Dame Sir Knight Sir Freddie Mercury.
What is that? What's that t-shirt? Is the chemical element of Mercury in a sort of yellow jacket?
Chemical element of Mercury being, Jenny?
HG is the chemical symbol.
And do you know why it is HG?
It's heavy water or something like that. It's hydro... Oh, my goodness. Now you put me on. I'm off duty here. Come on. I've come to the pub to get away from the quiz.
Well, throughout the evening, I've just got 100 quickfire questions to spring at you. But I do want, before we begin to enter the further realm, I have to ask... Somebody to Love. I mean, even George Michael had to change the key.
Yeah, I feel like they changed my key down. Oh, I didn't ask for that. that was the one thing I managed to stick to from the audition process. That was the first song I auditioned with. And I had a choice of a couple to perform at the live audition stage at Simon Cowell's house. And I stuck to my guns, because that song is something that I've sung for years with my friend Martin, who's a pianist. And it was probably one of the first songs that I ever really sang publicly that wasn't in Gilbert and Sullivan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'd met this chap who sat in the corner of a pub, you know, rattling through pop and rock songs on the piano, and occasionally would have people step up and sing with him, and I chatted with him, and I said, "Do you know Somebody to Love?" And he said, "Yeah, are you sure?" I said, "Yeah, I'll do it. I've only ever sung it in my bedroom." Wow. And it kind of became our theme song.
Oh, wow.
Because, yeah, people put the pints down to applaud. I think it was just the volume more than anything.
Well, it's a great delivery. Very impressive.
It's one of the great lost number ones, I think. Mm. It wasn't number one, but it absolutely damn as well should have been.
Yeah, I think if you took a poll, people would assume it was a bigger hit than it was.
Can you describe Simon Cowell's jeans? What was the state of his jeans when he saw him? Were they boot cut?
They were under a table. I have been in Simon Cowell's bedroom.
Wow.
Can tell you that. I've seen his bath.
Really?
That was because the door to the stage was his patio door from his bedroom. That's the only reason I've been in his bedroom.
You didn't say, Simon, do you mind if I just use your bath?
I mean, it's overlooking the Pacific Ocean, so it's probably one of the best baths I've ever seen.
Wow, the Pacific Ocean and Simon Cowell looking out onto it from his bath.
Yeah. Imagine that. No, please don't.
Yeah. What a haunting image you've brought with you this evening.
Sort of imagine that he still wears his bootcut jeans in the bath. That's my mental image.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you think he gets them so tight?
Yeah.
It's to soak them.
So, Jenny, tell us more about this piano in the pub that you said is near you. What sort of pub is it? And where is near you? What's your pub realm?
The location is Bolton, and this is a pub called Barristers. Now, it no longer has that piano, unfortunately. It gradually, over the years, got more and more battered and out of tune. And when the landlord was informed how much a replacement piano would be, he just fired my friend.
Really?
Basically. That was quite a sad thing. So the tale goes that my friend Martin had been out drinking and had made his way down Bradshawgate, which is our main drinking strip in Bolton, and one of the last pubs you come to. It's a double pub, so you go through an archway into a little cobbled courtyard, and you can turn left and you can go into the Swan, where they will probably be playing Scooter very loudly, and there will be some of the ugliest people you've ever seen dancing.
So there's like a pub within a pub?
Yeah, and so if you turn to the right, it's a little real ale bar.
Wow.
Called Barristers. Oh. And in the corner of that little real ale bar,
there's another pub.
There was a piano. No. Oh, right. Which is, yeah, it's a pub within itself. and apparently one evening, Martin, who is just a fantastically talented man, walked in and asked, "Do you mind if I play that for a bit?" And it was the Bolton equivalent of sort of rolling out the barrel and everyone gathering around the old Joanna.
Yeah.
That became his, I think, Friday, Saturday and Sunday night. He ended up playing there from about 10 p.m. till 4 a.m.
Oh. Wow.
It was karaoke, but not quite. It was a turn, but not quite. It was he's very shy and low key. And then he would get, when his mates would turn up, like me, he would beckon us over and say, "Do you want to do Son of a Preacher Man? Go on, give us Son of a Preacher Man." And he'd just start playing it and you'd have no choice. A microphone would be thrust into your hand.
Amazing.
So would Barristers be your first stop, or would you go down the strip? Tell us more about this strip. What was it called?
Bradshawgate.
Bradshawgate.
Yeah. Brad, as in Brad Walsh.
Yeah.
Shaw. Gate. It's Bradshawgate, so it's, it all rolls into one. It's a lovely Bolton phrase, is to just slide all the syllables into one another. Back in the day when I was a teenager first starting, the ambition was to do all the pubs on Bradshawgate.
How many are we talking?
Never did it. At the peak, there would have been about a dozen.
Right.
It was very doable. You would start at an Irish pub, which then became a pub called Bar Metro, which, believe it or not, Metro is the biggest taxi rank in Bolton. So the bar is sponsored by the taxi firm.
Wow.
In fact, has a little booth where on the way out, if you've drunk too much,
that's
get
quite
a taxi,
nice.
It's fine. It's actually a really solid marketing ploy. And then once our one branch of Revolution went, after about 6 months, because it was far too posh for us, the next bar is called the Balmoral. It's the kind of place where the average number of limbs is less than everywhere else.
Yeah.
You get my meaning? In fact, the average number of noses...
Well, a few people have been in the wars.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. And there's definitely... You can definitely smoke in the back room, I'm sure of it. They look at you askance if you look like you're from the council, which is basically anybody who's wearing...
Shoes.
Outdoor clothes, yeah. Right.
Or has a nose.
Yeah, yeah.
Classic council nose.
So you'd have to get past that to do the rest of the strip. Unfortunately, now the rest of the strip is pretty much... They've all got like a Z in the name.
Mm. Oh,
the end of the Z. They've got Shots, Courtney's.
Right. Yeah.
Can we just take a moment of silence for those fallen pubs?
Fare ye well.
Did they try and rejig the Irish pub to like O'Malley's with a Z or something like that?
It was Dirty Nellie's, dirty with a U.
Oh.
But no Z. There was no Z involved.
There's so many mavericks in the pub rebranding name game. But we shall get on to that, Jenny, because tonight we are creating your fantasy pub. Is this pub going to be on Bradshagate?
Probably not. No, it's not what it was.
Right.
It is not what it was. It'd probably be more likely to be out in one of the suburbs. So my family all live in a little suburb. Well, it's not a suburb. They would kill me for saying that. I wouldn't be allowed back in. It's a village, which is technically part of Bolton.
A suburban village.
Yes. Yeah. It's got its own identity. And it's a lot of people there don't like to leave there ever for any reason. So it's great, but it's also... a bit frightening to come in from the outside.
So when we walk into Jenny Ryan, a.k.a. the Vixen, a.k.a. singer of Somebody to Love's pub, what sort of decor awaits us? Because you've got a very strong, cool aesthetic. You've got a really, like, cabaret chic, rockabilly look.
Okay.
And your hair is, like... done in those, like, it's the 50s. Is that going to be reflected in your pub?
Well, there'll be a lot of mid-century furnishings.
Ooh.
But not particularly by design, just because they've always been there. They're sturdily built. They probably had a coat of paint on at some point, and I'll take that off if it makes it look a bit better. Mm. But there are a lot of original features in here. There's tiling, Victorian tiling there.
Ooh, so Victorian tiling, but sort of quite utilitarian mid-20th century furniture.
Mostly, yeah. Yeah, so the permanent fixtures are from when the place was constructed. So it probably would be a Victorian building. You know, some nice high ceilings and everything. Tiling, a bit of wood panelling. But the furniture, it's been accrued over the century.
Oh, I like
that. Some have survived.
Yeah, yeah.
And some hasn't. And a lot of it will be how easy it was to clean. It's probably still got many, many layers of stickiness on it. I think they call that patina, don't they, on Bargain Hunt?
Patina, yeah.
Oh, yes.
And booths. Are we talking booths? What kind of...
There'll be some booths.
Yeah.
So it would be akin to Rover's Return.
Mm.
Right.
There'd be a little bit of that, but plenty of side rooms. So there'd be a vault. There'd be a tap room. There's a different... Atmos in the different parts of the building.
Oh, I like that. So almost like a really nice pub version of those nightclubs they used to try and make where every floor was a different sort of Atmos and music.
Oh,
and
yeah, Bolton's still got one of those. Yeah. Still got one of those. It's called Level.
Level, yeah.
Yeah.
There's one in Bristol called Prism with a Z.
I accidentally went there within the last decade.
Really?
Oh, no.
In your mid-Victorian tiled pub with furniture accrued. I love that turn of phrase, with furniture accrued. What are the two items you're having on draft?
Okay, so this sounds very tedious, but I don't really trust a pub which doesn't have a stout on.
Mm-hmm.
And your classic, it's Guinness, because you can't really go that far wrong with it. Unless it's very badly kept and very badly poured, in which case my bar staff will be trained. They will be drilled in how to do a proper pint. Because I've seen some shockers in my time.
Mm.
Tell you how Guinness can go wrong. I once went to a Wetherspoons with not just Guinness extra cold, Guinness Super Cold.
Ooh.
And it was disgusting.
Just take it outside if you want it colder.
It's too cold.
I'm sure we've mentioned this before, but shit London Guinness, the Instagram account. I don't know if you're aware of that, Jenny, but that is definitely worth a follow.
It is shocking. And in fact, a lot of my pub knowledge and my pub fondness comes from a particular pub I worked in sort of in my mid-20s into 30s probably, where I made some very good friends, including one of my best friends, Claire, was the landlady. She took a chance on me. I'd never done more than a few shifts behind a bar, and she gave me this job and saved me from myself at a time when I was very depressed and I was basically agoraphobic, and I didn't want to leave the house, but I had to for my shift, and it changed a lot for me. But pretty much the first thing she showed me was how to pour a pint of Guinness, and then made me do it another 10 times, so I got it
brilliant.
Right. Because she was not having a bad pint of Guinness.
What did you do with all that Guinness?
Ah, well, she saw it. She saw it off somewhere.
So the pubs played a huge role in getting you to where you are. I mean, literally and sort of metaphorically, it provided you with something to sort of challenge the difficult state you were in.
Yeah, absolutely. It became a second home, and I developed a second family, and was really important to me when I'd had a bit of a downturn in my life and my circumstances, and ended up moving back home and moving into my mum's spare room with all my worldly goods. And it was a tough old time. And basically my mum said, you need to go out and find a job. I don't care how many hours it is, how much it pays, but you need to do something. And thankfully Claire came to my rescue, and she's still one of my best friends, and I've actually followed her around the country, been to visit various different pubs that she has run over the years. Interesting ones.
What was the name of this pub that saved your life?
This is the Bowling Green, colloquially known as the Bowler, because it's in Horwich, that village near to Bolton, not a suburb of Bolton at all. That is one of the only pubs in Horwich which retains its actual name rather than the colloquial name.
Can we just take a moment to give some quiet thanks for the Bowling Green?
The Bowler. May she...
Oh.
I don't know what she's up to now.
Long may she...
She's been redecorated is what's happened.
Oh, well, that can go one of two ways.
Mm.
So what a fantastic story of Jenny and pubs.
Yeah.
And redemption.
Yeah.
What's your second draft item, Jenny?
Right, I've only seen this on draft once. And I was so excited, I actually took a photo with the bar staff.
Yes.
I'll tell you, this bar was in a bingo hall.
Okay.
And it was Vimto on draft.
Wow.
Wow.
Tell you, I never dared dream such a thing existed. So it's my favourite, and it was on tap. I could have a pint of Vimto right then and there.
So you could have a Guinness and black.
Oh, I wouldn't ruin either Guinness or Vimto by mixing them together. Although now I've got an idea, I might do it.
I remember my first forays into Guinness were in a pub called The Rising Sun in Bristol, and you used to have it with like a sort of shot of blackcurrant in it.
That's an underrated drink, I find.
Yeah.
I find myself craving that occasionally.
Yeah. Always associated with goths,
it's
that,
a very
isn't it?
Goth drink, isn't it?
For some reason.
Why do... Yeah. Surely you're goths, because me and Rob used to be friends with the goths at school. Surely you don't want to make anything less black.
It's purple, though. Oh,
I guess
it's adding that purple element, like snakebite in black.
Mm. I remember once...
You've gone from a quite a cheerful yellow drink to, it looks like a potion.
Yes.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, it's the potion element, I think. Mm. Yeah.
Rob and I once went to a house party in probably 1999 or 98, and there was one of the guys there was a goth, and he stayed up all night, or claimed to have not slept, and then asked to play chess, but would refuse to play unless he could be black. as if it's like, that's my thing, because I stayed up all night, and I... But you'd like, but that puts you statistically at a disadvantage if you're always... But he just wouldn't hear anything
that's
about it.
That's pretty adorable, actually.
Yeah,
it is nice. Quite sweet.
Yeah.
So back to Jenny Ryan's mid-Victorian tiled pub with furniture accrued, with a vault, with a 90s quiz machine, and absolutely, thank the Lord, no fruit machines. What are we having in our bottled and canned selection?
So, I like a continental beer. I'm not much of a hoppy ale drinker myself, but I like a continental beer. I like a continental fruit beer. So I would have bottles of Creek, the Belgian cherry beer.
Right.
Preferably Boone is the brand that I like the most.
Well, I had two of those just two nights ago. Creek Boone, it's 4%.
It's delicious.
And it's so nice to get a sort of feel you're having a Belgian beer without it being like 12%.
Mm. Oh, I've made that mistake before on a trip to Belgium. Oh.
I googled it and I've just got Mills and Boone books. How do you spell Creek? Sorry,
it's K-R-I-E-K.
Oh yes,
I think, or the I-N-E might be the other way
around.
You
can get it in Tesco.
Oh yes, this one. Yeah, this is a classic.
Oh, it's so good, and it is on that scale of actually as the aforementioned Guinness and Black or Guinness and Vimto. It's adding a fruity element to your beer.
Yeah.
We've got a very fruity selection at Jenny Ryan's pub. And
you've
I got don't
to get your vitamins somewhere.
Yeah.
Two. I'm not sure Creek Boone counts as one of your five a day.
It does in my pub.
Yeah.
Well, also, they're only, because they're 275ml, the bottles they sell in Tesco. So it's only one unit a bottle. Hmm. It might be 330, but it's definitely one unit a
You're
bottle.
You're making it so sound healthy.
It almost is. Not quite, but almost. So Creek Boone is your first choice. What's your second choice?
Not being a wine snob or anything, because I don't know enough, but I'm a red wine drinker. And a couple of years ago on one of my solo travel jaunts, I had planned to make this trip with a partner. I'd broken up with him about 3 weeks before we set off, so I went anyway.
Amazing.
And so I went to Vienna. I wasn't the Lion of Vienna that time. And then I got the train down to Venice, and then I went to Florence, and just basically ate a lot of nice food and drank a lot of nice wine by myself in Italy. So I think my favourite red wine that I found around there was a Primitivo.
Oh, yes.
Very easy to drink with anything or on its own.
Yeah.
And
again, with the fruitiness.
Very fruity, fruity, yeah.
I mean, it's got a Vimto quality. Really.
Basically, all of my drinks are on a Vimto scale.
Yeah.
Of just how sugary they are, basically. Yeah. It's the flavours are still there. It's just how much sugar content is there. Is there as much sugar as a cream egg? Then it's probably Vimto itself.
Yeah.
Well, it's not the Primitivo's first appearance in The Moon Underwater, and I think what makes it popular, but not particularly well known as a grape, is that it's very jammy.
Mm.
It's very sort of plum, cherry, port, jam, strawberry jam.
Yeah.
To coin a phrase, absolutely neckable.
Yeah. That's it.
You really can deck the bastard.
Yeah. It's not trendy at the moment, but I'm sure it'll have a moment.
It must have a moment.
But it's not trendy right now.
There's that Sainsbury's one, the Valpolicella, which that is, I mean, it's like drinking Ribena. Oof. It's delish.
Well, yeah. I've got on my wine hall of fame, I've got four bottles of wine.
Yeah,
and they're the only four bottles of wine I've had in the past sort of 4 years that have made it onto the Wine Hall of Fame.
Really?
And one of them is a Serrani Costa Rossa Primitivo di Manduria from Majestic. It is superb.
Mm. I really should be a bit more organised when I have wine that I like. Occasionally I'll be like, I'll take a photo of the label, I'll remember that. Never do.
You must be quite a good wine knowledge person. Have you ever had to learn wine trivia?
We found out while we've been recording Beat the Chasers that when we had a few questions come up about wine...
Yeah.
It always comes to me.
Right.
But I think that's just default because not many of us are drinkers. Mm. And of those of us who are drinkers, the only person who probably cares about what they're actually drinking is me. I mean, I love Paul to bits, but he will always just ask for the cheapest lager they've got. That's it. He's not really thinking about what he's putting in his body.
Mm.
So cocktails and wine, I will tend to have to come up with the extra info. I'm not a wine buff. But I know enough.
But surely general knowledge is about knowing things of which are not necessarily your taste, because Paul, I love Paul to bits, and if I needed to know who scored in the FA Cup final in 1980, I'd ask him, but he's never been in an FA Cup final.
No, no, and he's never scored for England in Vienna.
No, absolutely not.
Not that I know of. I mean, very personal.
Well, he may have done.
Yeah. I used the phrase wine knowledge person instead of wine buff there, but I think you got what I was. Okay.
I prefer wine knowledge person.
Wine actually. Knowledge person, yeah.
Right then. So, just to recap thus far, in Jenny Ryan's Dream Pub, we have Guinness with trained Guinness bar staff who have to pour 10 pints of Guinness to prove their worth, which Robin and I will then come and make them disappear.
Great, from 1 to 10.
We have Vimto on draft to create some kind of Guinness and Black, or just have Vimto on its own. Mm. We have Craik Boone, 4% Belgian. Is it cherry? It's the cherry beer, isn't
That's
it?
That's the cherry one, yeah. Yum. Yeah, framboise is your raspberry version, which is also nice, but I'm a bit of a sucker for anything cherry flavoured, even cherry flavour sweets, which don't taste like cherries, but I like cherry flavour sweets for the for the weirdness.
Do you like cherry Halls?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of the great flavours.
Yeah.
And also a bottle of Italian Primitivo Red. Well, this is a lot of pressure now, Jenny, because we are about to hand over to our quizmaster.
Uh-oh.
The lovely Robin, who is going to oversee this evening's pub quiz. Now, this is for the listeners to play along at home, but Jenny, do take notes because we can chip in with our answers afterwards.
Okay, everybody, pens out, eyes down, it's time for the quiz. Played for Zimbabwe, but he was born in South Africa. I know Alaska is bigger. That wasn't the question. Put your phone away. Right, Michael Jackson's Funky Monkey have been deducted 5 points.
Thank you, John. Yes, welcome to the Moon Underwater Pub Quiz. This is quite a
Sorry, Rob. I'm just going to get an alcohol-free beer while
before we do that,
I can enjoy it. Okay. All this talk of fruity beers, so I've got an alcohol-free raspberry sour.
Ooh.
From Mikola, and it's absolutely
I thought
gorgeous.
You didn't like sours.
I don't like sours if they've got booze in them, but I like sours if they're alcohol free because it tastes like fruit juice.
That's great.
Yeah, all right.
Good.
That's your logic and you can stick with it, that's fine.
Yeah. Okay, so welcome to the Moon Underwater Pub Quiz, and what a nerve-wracking experience it is compiling a quiz for when the vixen is present. But yeah, just play along at home, and I'm going to read through some questions and then give you the answers after the advert break. So I thought with the vixen along, do you mind being called that, by the way, or should I just call you Jenny?
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird nickname.
So this is a bit of a non-traditional pub quiz round, I thought. It's not your average trivia. I thought I'd do something a bit different. And maybe this will, you know, stick and it could be a recurring theme of the Moon Underwater Pub Quiz. But I thought this was quite a good idea. It's basically lyrics or cryptic crossword clues. So basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to read out a sentence and you have to decide whether it comes from a song lyric or from a cryptic crossword clue.
Oh, nice.
And then when I give you the answers, you get a bonus point if you can guess what the cryptic crossword clue answer is. Okay, I think that's clear. Okay, so question one, quote, Fox Confessor brings the flood. Fox Confessor brings the flood. Is that a lyric or a cryptic crossword clue? Okay, I've got six of these because I really liked doing it. Question two. Scrap of sassafras, a Sisyphus. So that's scrap of sassafras, which is like a
plant.
How
are you spelling that?
Sassafras, S-A-S-S-A-F-R-A-S, comma, A-E-H, Sisyphus, as in Sisyphus, the guy who pushed a rock up a hill.
Push the rock up.
How are you spelling Sisyphus?
S-I-S-S-Y. P-H-U-S. And it's got a question mark at the end.
Great, great, great.
Okay, question three. Is it a lyric or a cryptic crossword clue? Draw on such fresh morning air. Question mark. Draw on such fresh morning air. Okay. Ready for the next?
Yeah.
Are you a crossword fan, Jenny, or is this a...
I tried to be.
Yeah.
My mum is very into cryptic crosswords, and she will always thrust a newspaper at me and go, try and get a few of these. And I look and go, oh, and I'll get one. She's already done most of them. So if there's a few letters in there,
I
understand the principle, just I've not been doing it enough.
I've been teaching myself since like November,
because
my neighbour gave me a book of cryptic crossword puzzles. And I'm on number 47.
Wow.
And it's the first one I've not had to use any help for so far, and about halfway through. So I'm quite excited. This might be the first one I ever do without any help.
Yeah. That's good. Where did we get up to? We did question three, draw on such fresh morning air. So question four was bored, having seen tide turn at sea. Bored, having seen tide turn. Turn at sea. Okie dokie. Question five. Out of England, I dream of its creamery. Creamery. Which is, I won't give any clues. Any help? Do you need any spellings with that one? Some feverish writing going on down at John's end.
It's quite hard because you have to be able to see them.
Yeah.
If you were actually to do them as a cryptic crossword.
Yeah. I suppose it's working out which ones sound crosswordy. Okay, and the last one is number six. Gegs. G-E-G-S. Is that from a song or a crossword?
See what you did there. Yeah.
Jenny's happy with that one. Cool.
It's my level.
Okie dokie. Well, I hope you had fun listening along to those.
What a superb quiz from Robin there. And folks, you have the time it takes to listen to these notices to compile your answers. For those of you who are supporting us through Patreon, we appreciate it very much. If you would like to subscribe on Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/moonunderpod. And see the many benefits that you get as a Patreon member, including, but not limited to, access to live tickets when they go on sale, ad-free podcasts, access to the Moon Underwater Social Club Facebook group, and also the bonus podcast. Robin and I discussing everything we've ever thought about pubs. Also tasting a few beers in behind the cellar door. So do check that out if that's of interest. But right now, a little bit of advertising.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back, folks. Getting vertigo from being held so high on these tenterhooks. Robin, please bring me back to solid ground.
I will, John, absolutely. How did you two get on with these questions?
Terribly. I mean, they all seem so plausible in terms of crossword clues that some of them are too obtuse.
Yes.
And I can't... Yeah. I'm not very good at working out crossword clues, but I can kind of see which ones
right.
are where I'm supposed to be looking in them.
Yes, yeah,
and there's
yeah.
a couple I'm not sure enough about.
Sure.
To think that I could see them in my newspaper.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, let's put you out of your misery. So question Please. One was, I'm sure John will know this one, Fox Confessor brings the flood. What did you think, Jenny? Lyric or crossword clue?
It sounds very specific, so I'm going to go lyric.
It is. Yeah, it is. It's it's actually a song title by Nico Case and an album name by Nico Case. But I always thought that sounds brilliantly like a crossword clue, which is where
it's
I got
such a great song.
Oh. Yeah, it's where I got the idea for this round.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, yeah. So question two was Scrap of Sassafras, a Sisyphus. Lyric or crossword clue?
There's a lot going on there for it to be any kind of anagram amalgamation because there's too many S's. So unless it is to do with all the S's, I'm going to say lyric.
Mm-hmm. John?
I think because you said question mark, I think it's a cryptic crossword clue, but that was the one I was most unsure of.
Sure. It is actually a lyric. It's a Joanna Newsom lyric from the song Only Skin.
Wow.
What a great lyric. God, that I'd love is. To do a crossword with Joanna Newsom in the Cotswolds.
That's question, a whole different podcast.
Yeah. Question three, draw on such fresh morning air.
There was a question mark at this on this one, which makes me think it's a crossword clue.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't solved it, though.
You don't have to solve it for a bonus point. But John, what did you think?
Well, I had it down as a lyric, but if it's a cryptic crossword clue, I'd like to know the amount of letters so I can have a go.
Same. Okay. Really? Right. Okay. Well, it is a cryptic crossword clue, and the letters are four as two words, four, six.
Is the first word gain?
No.
Well, you have to give it. It's an anagram of morning air.
Rain? No.
Okay. You know, it's an anagram of draw on such. It's dawn chorus.
Oh.
It's dawn chorus.
A morning air.
Air.
That always gets me. I always get it wrong when they put the anagram indicator after the anagram ingredients.
Right.
I always get confused.
So just to explain, it's draw on such is an anagram of dawn chorus. Fresh, meaning look at those words are fresh, I suppose. And morning, as in dawn, and air, as in like a song. So like a chorus, dawn chorus. Cool. I feel like Victoria Coren Mitchell. So, bored, having seen tide turn at sea.
With that turn, that makes me think there's an anagram in there. So, I'm going to go for crossword clue.
Crossword clue, John?
I'd say that's definitely a crossword clue.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is a crossword clue. Well done, both of you. Do you want the answer?
Well, so it's either a word meaning bored, which is then another word for tide the wrong way round on top of a word that means sea.
Do you want me to put you out of your miz?
Yeah.
Please.
Okay, it's uninterested, which is an anagram of tide turn at sea.
Wow. Ooh.
Which is a lovely one.
Yeah. I definitely would have needed someone else to start the crossword.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I'm hopeless at crosswords.
It's an anagram of
turn at sea, is it? No.
No, it must be seen, tide, turn, because at sea.
Oh, at sea, yes. At yeah, sea. You're quite right. Yeah, sorry, at sea is the anagram indicator. Sorry, yeah. Sorry, out of crossword club. Okay, out of England, I dream of its creamery. Any ideas for that?
It's so evocative.
Mm.
That'd be wasted in a crossword. I think that's going to be lyrics.
John?
I'm going to say lyrics.
It is lyrics. It's from a song called Barmy by The Fall. And I was doing this today, and I always thought the lyric was, out of England, I dream of its green memory, which is absolutely beautiful, but it's not. It's not. He's not singing that at all. It's creamery. No. I don't know what.
It's all in the delivery.
It's all in the delivery. Okay, so that was The Fall. And the last one then was Gegs. Any idea with Gegs?
That's a crossword clue that I can solve.
Sure. Do you know the answer?
Scrambled eggs.
Yeah, scrambled eggs. So very well done if you got that at home. And thus endeth the quiz.
I like that.
Superb quiz,
Thank
Robin.
You. Thank you.
Superb quiz. So, we took some time there to really get to grips with some superb cryptic crossword content.
I mean, that's what's going on in the vault in my pub.
Yeah.
Somebody is hunched over a cryptic crossword.
I tell you what, I love it in a pub when someone's doing the crossword, but then like other people join in. Or, you know what I mean? That really brings people
what
together.
What if that
I mean,
person wants to do a crossword on their own?
Well, they might shout out across the bar, you know, 10 down, help me.
Yeah.
That's not the clue.
Actually, you're just shouting out, gags!
Yeah,
gags!
Yeah. That's how you get barred.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone, gags! Well, Jenny, in this vault where people may or may not be doing and discussing cryptic crosswords, what two spirits will they have access to?
Well, you know, some pubs are like whiskey specialist bar and they've got every whiskey under the sun. And some have got gin now. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Mine would be rum based.
Ooh.
A lot of dark rum's my thing.
My former poison of choice.
John's Bete Noir.
We're still on the sweet scale here, though, as well.
Yes,
you know,
we
sugar based. So my favourite bottle behind the bar will be it's Old Monk. I have an Old Monk here, which is virtually empty. Here he is.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
It's a rum from Goa, and it's about the sweetest thing you'll ever drink. Wow. It's
delicious.
It looks
like a chess piece.
Yeah, and so his little head comes off, and you can drink out of his skull.
It's a glass bottle in the shape of a monk. Quite incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it's more impressive when it's full of brown liquid, but there's only a wee bit left.
Aren't we all?
Hey.
Oh, wow. So are we looking at, so I'm just looking at it in my mind.
Mm. Google.
No, in my mind. Right,
sorry.
So is it Old Monk Triple X?
Old Monk Triple X, that's the one.
Oh.
Yes. Very old vatted, 7 years blended. Don't know if that makes it any better.
Whew, 42.8%.
That's the rascal.
Don't accidentally Google monk porn when you Google
Triple X monk action.
Yeah. Monk on monk action. Sorry.
It's definitely out there.
Probably if you can think it.
Mm-hmm.
So
it has been done.
Jenny, are you mixing that with anything or is that a straight up monkery?
it is probably better mixed with something.
Yeah.
It can be sipped, but it's nice. It's nice with an ice cold Coke. From the bottle, ideally, a little bottle. Little glass bottle, just fizzy enough.
And you could probably have a couple of pints of that, couldn't you?
I can easily. Yeah.
The desperation
rum is the
in
thing.
John's eyes.
Rum is the thing that I can drink till forever and not feel any the worse for it and not feel any drunker.
I can drink rum until my girlfriend leaves me.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Jenny, your second spirit.
My second bottled drink here, my second spirit, a stronger beverage.
Yes.
It's not technically a spirit, you see.
Ooh.
Because your spirits are your classic, your rum, gin, vodka, whiskey. Yeah. So I'm extrapolating from that. It's a liqueur.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think we'll allow that.
Okay. It's this stuff. It's called Bellota. It is Spanish liqueur made from acorns.
Wow.
No way.
And it is very sweet and it's like an upmarket amaretto, I would say.
Mm.
It's got more of an earthy, nutty flavour to it and it's a sippable one. So this is a nice short.
Does it get you bellottoed?
Hey! Well, okay. I've drunk most of this bottle, so yeah.
Here's a quiz question for you. Jenny, what is amaretto made from?
It is made from the stones of apricots, is it?
Yes!
Wow.
There we go.
That is good.
There you go. Booze knowledge.
Because you think it's made from hazelnuts.
Yeah. You think it's definitely nut-based. You think they basically squeezed out a lot of marzipan into a bottle or something.
Yeah.
But no.
Stones of apricots.
Gross.
Well, so I've made an error there because I didn't realise that amaretto is not a brand.
No.
Mm.
So amaretto, depending on the brand, may be made from apricot kernels, bitter almonds, peach stones or almonds. Mm. Interesting.
But I think it is commonly and cheaply done. It's like the orange bit in Jaffa cakes is apricots. Apricots get everywhere.
What?
Mm. What?
Yeah, it's not orange. That's not orange there. That's apricot. That's apricot jam. flavoured with orange.
Jenny.
You're poisoning my mind.
It's true. They're still delicious. They're still one of the best things on this planet. But it's not. That's not orange.
We thought there were murmurations in the pints when you arrived, but you have just murmurated the entire cellar. Oh, my God.
There you go. Every day's a school day with me.
Yeah. When we edit this, we're just going to cut it there and then just have 5 minutes of silence. And that'll be the end of the podcast. It's just too much to deal with.
Just weeping.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
On that bombshell, we are going to head over into a vault of our own here at the Moon Underwater as Robin picks this week's entry into the pub library.
Thank you, John. Yes, so every week, pick a book to go into the Moon Underwater pub library. And normally they are books about pubs or about beer or about drinking or alcohol, something like that. But this week I thought I'd go something a bit different and do a book about the nature of desire itself. Which is a little bit different. But this is one of my favourite novels, and it's a book that my friend Dave Hawkins recommended to me, and it's one of my dad's favourite books as well. It's a really beautiful book. It's called Les Grandes Melnieux by Alain Fournier, which is a French novel, staggeringly. And it's often translated into English as The Lost Estate, but it kind of literally means the Great Melnieux. Like The Great Gatsby. In fact, that's where Fitzgerald got the name for The Great Gatsby from this book. Yeah.
So what is a Molnir?
It's a character's name.
Oh,
it's
right.
It's the character's name, The Great Molnir. It's often translated as The Lost Estate. A couple of other good facts about this book. There's a Will Oldham song called Molnir.
Oh God, I've been pronouncing that wrong for 20 years.
I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. Also, it's the book that Sal Paradise carries with him in On the Road by Jack Kerouac. Ah, Jenny knows. So do you know?
Yeah, that's what's rung the bell with me.
Right,
I'm pretty sure that's come up in a pyramidal-style question.
Like, yeah.
In a quiz tournament where it'll always start with something really obscure. This is the book carried by...
Yes. So,
and then somebody's already buzzed in when they say Sal Paradise, someone from, you know... some Oxford college that knows all about these things. Yeah. I think is it the Le Grand Moon?
Better. Yeah. Moon. M-E-A-U-L-N-E-S. Maybe it's often translated into English as The Lost Estate because people don't know how to pronounce it. But basically...
French is hard. I only got a C in my A level.
I've been pronouncing that Will Oldham song in my mind. Mulness.
Yeah.
Like Holness. Bob Holness.
I think he spells it slightly differently. But anyway, it's a brilliant book. So it's basically about this. It's a French village. This mysterious figure, the titular figure, arrives in the French village, befriends the narrator. And then at some point he disappears off for a few weeks. And he comes back saying he's been to this magical, fantastical castle or chateau and estate where he falls in love with a beautiful woman. And he comes back and he says to the narrator, let's go and find it. But they never quite find it. They never quite get back to this place. So it's this incredible, beautiful kind of fable about kind of lost innocence and about nostalgia. I'm sure that when I discovered the estate without a name, I reached a height, a degree of perfection and purity that I shall never achieve again. For the first time, I too am on the road to adventure. No longer am I hunting for shells washed up by the sea under Monsieur Surel's guidance, or wild orchids that even the schoolmaster does not recognise, or even, as often happened in Old Martin's field, the deeply sunk, dried-up spring covered by a grating and buried under so many weeds that every time we would take longer finding it. I am looking for something still more mysterious. I'm looking for the passage that they write about in books, the one with the entrance that the prince, weary with travelling, cannot find. This is the one you find at the remotest hour of morning, long after you have forgotten that 11 o'clock is coming, or midday, and suddenly, as you part the branches in the dense undergrowth, with that hesitant movement of the hands, held unevenly at face height, you see something like a long dark avenue leading to a tiny circle of light. Basically pubs. In a way, pubs. when we talk about revealing pubs, this idea of turning a street and seeing a pub reveal itself, that's kind of what that passage made me think of, which is why I chose it.
weary travellers not expecting to see a parting in the trees.
Yeah.
And that circle of light that you never quite find.
You never quite find.
So, oh dear, Robin, that was beautiful. Thank you so much. So could you give us the name and author of that again?
Yeah, let's call it The Lost Estate by Alan Fournier.
Well, we're going to whack that right on the shelf and I'm going to grab it as soon as we finished and read it from cover to cover. Now, not only do we have a library here at the Moon Underwater, we also have a jukebox. Yep. And on it, we ask each of our guests to leave one album that they like to be played in a pub. So, Jenny, what's your album going to be?
Right. You're going to need to stick with me here because this is going to hurt.
It can't hurt as much as Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which is what someone has chosen.
Oh, okay. Recalibrate from there.
Okay, okay.
This is going to hurt. Sure. So this is something which can either be used as a thing of joy or it can be weaponized if you wish to get people out of the pub.
Right.
Oh,
or
interesting.
It will bring immense joy when everybody is drunk at a lock-in. And that would be The Best of Black Lace.
Oh, nice. Huh.
I don't know a lot about Black Lace. Inform me, please.
You've got the conga. You've got Agadoo. You've got Superman. They're just party songs, non-stop, terrible party songs. But everyone will know all the lyrics. Mm. And one of the things that my friend...
Sorry, I was thinking of Black Grape.
No. Yeah, that would be much higher quality.
Oh, this Birdie song as well, of course.
Did they do that?
I think they did a version of it.
They would have done a version. It is anything that would be played at a primary school disco at any time in the 1980s.
Was this stuff released to adults?
These were pop songs bought by adults back in the day in the 70s.
Wow.
That then got they got repurposed as family party songs, discos down the caravan site over the years, until the point where they're just part of the background of, you just feel slightly decadent sticking one of those songs on it, and you're like, I know I should be snobbish about this, but we've got beyond that. Push Pineapple, Shake the Tree.
They do feel synonymous with the Great British Celebration.
Yes. Mm. Yes, my friend Claire, the landlady of the Bowling Green, would weaponize the conga.
Mm.
Right.
That's a good way to get people out, is if you get the conga going in the right direction.
But there were people who would loiter at the end of the night and think they were going to get a lock-in. And only certain people were permitted to stay. And if she didn't really want someone to stay, she would say, in all seriousness, convince them that when we have a lock-in, the first thing we all do is take our clothes off and do the naked conga. And then she would go to the jukebox and she would put the conga on and start unbuttoning herself, and people would leave very quickly.
Really?
Some people stayed and immediately took the trousers off. That's fine. You know, it showed character, didn't it?
It did, yeah. Wow.
Okay, so going on the jukebox here at the Moon Underwater alongside all of our other guest choices is The Best of Black Lace, which sounds like it's going to be more rocky than it is.
Yeah, it sounds like a metal band, doesn't it?
Black Lace. it's a hardcore name for a slightly saucy party band.
I got to push pineapple, shake the tree. I got to push pineapple, grind coffee. To the left, to the right, up and down and to the knees, come and dance every night, sing with a hula melody.
We have one more choice left to add to your previous choices. So far you've had Guinness and Vimto on draft, Coric Boone and Primitivo Red bottled, and Old Monk Triple X Monk on Monk Action at 42.8%, and Bellotta, the acorn liqueur to go in your beautiful pub with its side rooms and its vaults, its booths and its furniture accrued.
It's a great selection.
So your final choice, Jenny, is your wild card drink. This can be absolutely anything.
So this is a wild card because it probably comes in a box rather than a genuine draft or definitely not in a bottle. And that would be the fruit perry that they sell at the Man and Scythe in Bolton. These are basically homemade-ish. They buy in a non-flavoured perry. roughly, I think they're about 12%.
F me.
Bloody
Although, and it feels like that once you've had one pint. It might be slightly less, but not much. and then they make different flavours. So there's a passion fruit one where they basically put some cordial in there. They may as well do it. They may as well do a Vimto one, which they might do if I ask them. That'd be quite
so
good.
So the cider company send them like a sort of base mix that you then flavour as you want.
Yeah. Yeah. So they have a variety now of different flavours. And they will have guest flavours, which is just basically whatever additive they could find to make.
I think they do this. They definitely have a range of flavoured perries at the Harp in London. And I've had a mango perry there. Yes. I wonder if it's the same thing. Do you know the name of the company that make these boxes?
I don't. They never reveal their sources.
Oh, great.
Turns out it's Black Lace. That's what they've got.
They would actually love their own line of ciders and perries. And they would definitely come in a box.
There used to be a fantastic perry when I worked in the Adam and Eve in Bristol called Hex. Do you remember Hex perry?
That I know
very,
Hex perry.
Very nice.
Well, they have a cider and perry festival where they have a range of these. I feel like there's been some in from Hex in the past.
I was once at the Apple in Bristol, which is a cider boat, in the afternoon, and they had this...
Oh, that sounds dangerous.
Oh, it's so good. And they had this perry on. It was only about 4.5%. And it just tasted like nectar. Mm. I had 3 pints, and I'm not going to mince my words, Jenny. It went through me like a lightning bolt, to the extent where I had to get a cab home because I needed the toilet so badly. So anyway, I texted John Richardson, the comedian, and I said, "You've got to get to the Apple because they've just got the best perry I've ever tasted." Because something was clearly not right with the barrel. So the next day...
What, you deliberately did that to him?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it did taste amazing.
Yeah.
So anyway, the next day he texts me saying, "You're right, this perry, man, this out of this world." And about 45 minutes later, I got a voice message from him on the toilet at the train back to Swindon. And went, "Fucking, what have you fucking got me into straight on this toilet as soon as I got on the train?"
That's cruel. That is cruel use of perry, that.
Yeah. It's an abuse of perry.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great choice. And I have to say, when I come to your pub, after a couple of pints of Guinness, I'm going to go straight to the perry.
It's lethal. It is.
Toilet.
It is lethal. The two drinks that they have at the Man and Scythe here that I go straight, make a beeline. If I want to get drunk fast, I'm on the perry. And you can have a half and you're already well
flying.
There.
Yeah.
They also do mead. Who drinks mead? I drink mead. I love it.
Yeah.
Local mead.
I've had a couple of meads in my time. Always just tastes a little bit too sweet for me. But it's more like it's a bit like a dessert wine.
Well, you can have very, very dry up to very sweet. They have the full range.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can have it. It's like an Amontillado kind of sherry taste to it, straight through to basically drinking alcoholic honey.
Yeah, it's definitely what the monks had before getting
old monk.
Monk on monk action. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
You're barred.
You also have the power, Jenny, to ban or bar one thing from your dream pub. So any activity, any item, anything you don't want to see, hear or experience.
There's so many things. There's so many things. This is because, you know, I think it won't be very popular, but children are not allowed at the bar. No way. Get out. You can sit in the beer garden. You can take them out of lemonade and a bag of crisps, because that was a pinnacle for me when I was a kid. Yeah. Wouldn't have dreamed of going inside unless accompanied to go to the bathroom.
Well, this is the thing, I think, is like what's happening to these kids is they're being denied the idea of the mystery of the pub.
Yes.
You know, don't give it to them when they're young and they can run around the pub. Make it a mystery.
Yeah, it was so exciting going to the pub for the first time unaccompanied.
Then
it quickly became familiar. But that's part of it. That's part of it. I mean, also, I did enjoy throwing people out who were just arseholes. So just arseholes I would ban.
Ooh,
That is a great power to wield.
Mm.
if you are in charge of any bar. But I think in general, I would bar shots of anything tedious. If you do shots, you got to do something weird.
Yeah.
No Sambuca. No, that's Jaeger. No, banned. No.
Yeah.
Do shots of Bellotta. Do shots of Midori. Do shots of, I don't know, water. Just take a risk. I don't know which tap it's come from, hot or cold.
Well, so you've given us three possibilities there. Children banned from the inside, arseholes banned from everywhere, and shots of anything cliched or boring.
Yeah.
What are you going to guarantee being barred?
Yeah, kids. Save the experience for them. You can bugger off.
Yeah. That's a very good point of saving the mystique. Some things it's nice to have to wait for.
Yeah. I wasn't allowed to the pub quiz. I was desperate to go to the pub quiz when I was a kid. Wasn't allowed because I wasn't allowed inside the Lion of Vienna.
Yeah.
I had to sit on a bench outside.
Oh.
That was great. It's very exciting. It's by a main road. I probably inhaled a load of things.
Hurry up, please. It's time.
Jenny, thank you so much for joining us here at the Moon Underwater. What a pub you've created. Its furniture accrued with a patina accrued also, with its booths, with its Rover's Return stylings, with its 90s quiz machine, which I fully endorse. Also, its lack of fruit machines and its side rooms and its vaults. We've got to give this pub a name because it's yours to take away with you in your mind wherever you go. So what's the name of Jenny Ryan's pub?
Oh, this was actually really easy. I have to credit my mother for this one. So many years ago, when we would be taking road trips to places like Colwyn Bay, that we would have to have topics of conversation. And sometimes it would be, what would you call your ideal pub? So I would think long and hard about these. I was very small. Other people in the car would be discussing, you know, how good it was that you could have the slug and lettuce these days. You could call your pub anything. I like a locally sourced name like the Lion of Vienna. Many discussions went on. And my mum just stayed quiet and she just shouted out, "The Badger's Arse." So that's the name of my pub. It's a great name.
The Badger's Arse, yeah.
It's unique.
Yeah.
The Badger's Arse. I don't mind it one bit.
Because you'll feel rough as one after a couple of pints of that perry.
Yes, that perry is going to... Well, it's essentially wine.
Yeah.
Well, Jenny, I'm delighted to say that the Badger's Arse is yours to keep.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you.
And you take it with you in your mind and in your soul and in your hopes and desires. And hopefully one day you might turn through that avenue of trees and find a circle of light in a clearing wherein sits the Badger's Arse. So, Jenny Ryan, thank you so much for joining us. This has been so much fun to do. It's been a delight to have you here at the Moon Underwater, and we bid you farewell. And as ever, we like to play guests out with one of the tracks from their album. So I think it's only fitting that as we're closing, we now put on the conga to see Jenny out into the vast unending night.
Do, come on and do the conga.
And Jenny is now walking along the streets, dispersing her atoms into the atmosphere to be reused in the compressed gas of some of her favourite drinks. And we wish those atoms very well and thank her for bringing them to the Moon Underwater. Next week, the pretty big atoms of Adrian Chiles. I mean that in a sort of radio sense. He's a big radio atom presence. And he will be coming to the Moon Underwater to choose his perfect pub. So do download that episode as soon as it's out. And a reminder that there's a new bonus episode of Behind the Cellar Door available to Patreon subscribers of the, I think, top two tiers, the TTTs. Get behind the cellar door. So hopefully see you down in the cellar behind the mirror of sorrow at some point very soon. And thank you once again for visiting the correct realm in the Moon Underwater.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.